Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. A big shout out to our First Nation people across the Delhi country of ours. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. Have your say. National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to jump straight in. You've got PLO, Police Liaison Officer, Stephen Grant, come to join us. Acting Senior Sergeant, Renee Bon, for the State Police PLO. A coordinator, she is, and she's a lot prettier than the brother man here. Vanessa, Renee, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good. How are you?
I'm well. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from?
Yeah, so I'm Yorta Yorta, down from the Mildura, Romvale area of Victoria. But I've recently been doing some family history and managed to track back to Tassie.
Tassie, all right, there you go.
Islands down there, yeah.
Palawa, Palawa, yeah, so yeah. Too beautiful. And you're based in Brisbane?
Yeah, I am
at the moment, yep. Yeah, as an Acting Senior Sergeant, State Police Liaison Officer Coordinator.
That's right.
Hell of a title there.
Yeah.
Like an essay, sister.
I've got over 200 PLOs across the state that I look after, so it's a very rewarding job.
Good, fantastic. We'll get into that. Over to you, Brother Steve. Let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, brother.
Hey, good morning, Trevor. I'm proud Jitterbell boy from the wet tropics of the Tully, Cardwell,
Gumboot City.
Yep, Mission Beach Division. And yes. Good to be here again.
And police liaison officer, so how long have you been in the role?
20 years.
20 years, so you're working virtually under Renee?
No, because I'm Renee wears a different hat from where I do because I'm in the QPS recruiting team.
Okay, just moved over there.
Correct.
Exactly.
So I've been there since October. So,
but before the PLO,
yes,
would have been under Renee.
Well.
Yeah? Is that how it works, Renee, your position?
It's a funny way that it works. Yeah. The PLOs do report directly to their supervisors and their station and their community first and foremost. And I just make sure they've got all the resources and training that they need. And
good.
On the ground, yeah.
So you're up here because here we are in a monsoonal season up here in far north Queensland. And look, thoughts, prayers going out to Townsville as well as Ingham and Cardwell. And you had visitation there with Cardwell, is that right?
Yeah. So Cardwell got hit and got cut off there for a while from Innisfail. So myself and the inspector from my unit, we went down to assist in a deployment for the last 10 days, helping the community down there.
Sure. All right, fantastic. As I said, don't care, advance. We're getting technology. One thing we cannot control, Mother Nature. And if she wants to bitch slap us, she will. And here we are, the monsoonal season. I mean, we had our run last year with Cyclone Jasper. And thoughts and prayers are also going to the people at Holloway's Beach, Mason Beach area, who were flooded last year. Fortunately, we didn't have it like that this year. But our sister cities like Cardwell and Ingham and Townsville, which you got slapped around. I mean, Townsville became an island at one stage because it was cut off from the north, it was cut off from the west, the Charters Towers, as well as south Bundaberg area, Bowen area, you know. Mm-hmm. So Townsville became an island. But here we are. Roads are open now. Groceries are getting through.
True.
In regard to veggies and fruit and what have you and meat. So things are getting back on the norm, you could say.
Yeah, it was rough. The water was quite high, but I was there on the day we opened the roads for the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I think we counted just over 600 trucks going north and southbound, so we got food back into Cardwell, Cairns and Ingham and Townsville.
So as an Acting Senior Sergeant, State Police Liaison Officer Coordinator, Renee, how many PLOs do we have in this state?
We have just over 200 PLOs currently. Good.
Yes.
That's including our TSI PLOs up on the islands as well.
Is the format happening in other states and territories?
Not to this
extent.
No, not to this extent. No.
I reckon they should take a page out of our book. I think it's a great fit in regarding communication with the constituents and with the QPS.
Absolutely.
For example, with the police
force. Our PLOs are our specialist service between the community and the police.
Yes, yes. And look, when we look at facts and figures, you know, figures don't lie. We talk about incarceration of First Nation people are very, very high. And having PLOs there, well, it helps prevent that from happening. Or there's communication, there's a bridgeway, there's a it's a communication pathway, you could say.
Yeah.
Very important.
That's how it started. So having the PLOs and the PLO program, so it's been around for about 40 years now.
Mm.
The first proper PLOs that we have, as it appears today, was 1992.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, the reason we brought the PLOs on board in the first place was to be that bridge, especially in the Watch House.
Mm.
We have expanded to help community in many different areas, though, these days.
Good.
But we can't remember. We have to remember where we came from.
And it becomes also like a cultural awareness for non-Indigenous police officers, I would think.
Yes. Yeah, and with the cultural capability training that's going out across the service
yes,
now...
Yes, which is new.
The PLOs are key facilitators in that.
Yeah.
Without having a first... That particular training has to be done in conjunction with a First Nations person in that room.
Beautiful.
So it's First Nations voice from start to finish.
And when we're talking about 200 PLOs, male and females?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know the numbers, Renee, regarding females, males?
Oh. No, I don't usually break down gender.
Sure, yeah. Well, girls can do anything.
That's right. That's
Thank
right.
you. So it'd be good to know those numbers, you know, and then that in itself becomes motivation or inspiration for, well, if not more women, but more black people to join PLO forces.
Yeah. Well, I think I can say our eldest is probably in his 70s and he's been around since 1993.
And who is that?
So that's, I could do a big shout out to Uncle Roy Hodges.
Uncle Roy Hodges, shut up, played football with him up here.
Yeah, if you
that's Justin's
that
dad. If
name.
You mob know Justin Hodges, that's dad.
Yes.
But dad will say, no, Justin's my brother. He'll always promote that. But big shout out, Roy Hodges, yes.
Yeah, he's
I went
our
into NRL Magic, I think last year, ran into the brother, And he still owed me tuck shop money, so it was good to see the brother. known from Cairnsway. All right, fantastic. So he's the he's our elder, is he?
He's our most eldest, and our most eldest female would be Aunty Debbie Debris, who's also down
Brisbane Way.
But
Beautiful.
She's working with the Booyah kids, so helping the at-risk kids really get back on track.
Sure, fantastic. Mm. So there's extension of a PLO's job when you're going into that sort of field and regarding looking after kids who are disengaged.
That's right. We don't just do community and police. Mm. We are specialising more into the youth. I mean, there's a big youth crime issue, but the thing is, I prefer, and the PLOs as well, our perspective is let's get the kids young, let's get that positive influence, let's get them back on track rather than if we can avoid police.
Well, we're talking about prevention, aren't we?
Yeah,
preventing them from going to detention or going to jail if they come of age, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's by whatever vehicle we got out there.
Correct.
This is one vehicle using as in PLO's extended job, you could say.
The other point that I wanted to raise was Acting Senior Sergeant Renee Bond also does the multicultural side of things as well. So there's also Sudanese PLOs.
Yes.
There's Chinese PLOs.
Japanese.
Yes. So there's all backgrounds. I think your assistant in.
Do they come under your umbrella when we're talking about Japanese, Chinese, and
Sudanese?
When I
say over 200 PLOs, that's all the cultures.
Oh right,
we got our first French PLO last year.
Oh, oui.
Yes, yeah. Oh. So we've got about 130 odd First Nations PLOs from various mobs around Queensland. We've got
70 odd with the other multicultural people of the world.
Mm. Yeah.
And as we know, the multicultural communities like Brisbane, Toowoomba, I mean, like they're definitely needed in all sorts of background, race.
Well, we live in a multicultural country, if not state city.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And I must admit, I apologise because my mind, when PLO, I'm thinking straight away Indigenous.
No.
It's Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islanders.
Both backgrounds.
Yeah, beautiful.
All backgrounds, yeah. And I like that the First Nations PLOs who started it and who were the original bring in the multicultural PLOs under their wing and help them along the way.
Fantastic, beautiful. All right, so how does it work in regarding recruitment? Is that a yearly thing or any time anybody can apply to become a PLO?
Anytime. So it's not like sworn officers through the academy. If there's a vacancy, like a staff member vacancy at a local station for a PLO, it's advertised locally. So we really want to focus on local community first.
Yes.
So it's advertised through Smart Jobs. We have recognised that there's some barriers there with internet and use of computers and stuff, so we've worked on that. We've got paper-based application forms as well. So you can hand those in. You can download them if you want. Depends on what you feel.
Training, does a PLO have to go through the academy?
Yes.
Yes, and so, how long's that?
It's 2 weeks at the moment. We are working on a review, though, to bolster that and make it a bit more fit for purpose for what we do these days. Yeah.
Hands-on.
Hands-on. Because a police officer going through the academy, what's that, a 12 months?
Six months.
Or seven now. So
we've worked
on... An extension for two weeks would come in handy, would it not?
Yeah, so we get the 2 weeks, but that's face-to-face. But we've got an... I just wrote... my team and I wrote a big induction manual for PLOs. So it's kind of a Bible, something to empower the PLO when they first start. It's got all the information there, and we're also working on some extra training.
Okay, lovely.
To cement them in. Yeah.
A PLO, would they partner up with a police officer while on the road? Is that how it works, or is there two police officers and a PLO in the back of the car? Or
there's all different ways to do it.
Rostering,
yeah, if you're out in community, out in regional, rural, you may partner with a sworn officer and go around and assist them. If you're in a big city, like I know Cairns has a cultural engagement unit, which means they've got a whole team of PLOs, and they focus more on just the crime prevention and getting out there engaging with community.
Fantastic. So there's always room for improvement. Always, the door's always open for applications. So if you're looking at this opportunity, we're talking about not only a job pathway, but a career pathway. You can extend from a PLO into a full sworn police officer.
Yeah. We've actually got one in the academy now, one who just graduated end of last year. We've got one
former PLO, now police officer sworn in.
Yes.
Yes, beautiful.
Yep. Yeah, we've got a fair few, actually, that's crossed over.
So there it is. So there's
the
pathway. So promoting that, you mob out there. So if you're looking at a change in life, a change of career, or maybe you have the passion to become a police officer, this could be a stepping stone in regarding becoming a PLO.
It's about that advocacy for your community,
Beautiful. Well, good, Jana, with you. Nice to meet you, Renee, Acting Senior Sergeant, State Police Liaison Officer Coordinator. Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming. Brother, always good to see you. Thank you for the yarn. Thank you for setting up this deadly yarn here with Renee. And, of course, whenever you're in town, my sister, please drop and say hi.
Absolutely.
Come and see us.
Big shout out to the mob there at HQ in Brizzy, Maria and Karen and the team, working very hard this week with our deadly superintendent there, Mr. Jenkins, and Mr. Jewis, our team leader.
Yes.
So all the best to them.
Big shout out to their seniors of what we're saying.
And Uncle Adrian Coolwell, deadly fella.
Uncle Adrian. Yeah, alone there, brother. Right, beautiful yarn with you both. Take care and all the best to you, eh?
Thank you.
So
all right,
much. Thank you.
Deadly.
A beautiful yarn with the guys and girls in blue, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant and Acting Senior Sergeant Rene Bond in the State Police Liaison Coordinator. Look, fantastic, big job. And like I just found out something new there, when PLO is not only Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander, so there we have it. It's multicultural, Sudanese and Japanese and Chinese and what have you. And a French guy just come on board, too deadly, too fantastic. This is your deadly program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yana Strong, add to the conversation with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, your mob, National Talk Black.
A shy black boy who came to the city to learn about life, and now his people lost their lives. His parents died when he was just a child, and now his life is your bride.
Yeah, deadly track there. That's Black Boy with this Black Boy, 2012, Murray from the Curry. And that was by Coloured Stone, Black Boy. And Yarn Up Song here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Song. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And call that number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, you mob out there, because of the monsoonal season we do have up here in far north Queensland, Ergon Energy Retail offers help to flood victims. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Martin Siri, General Manager, Ergon Retail Operations, and talk about this space. Martin, good morning. How are you? Oh, Martin, you there?
Hi, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Martin?
I'm based in Townsville.
In Townsville. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, fantastic. Ergon Energy Retail offers help to flood victims. When we're talking about the floods and what have you, and roads cut off and what have you, sometimes electricity is cut off as well. So it's good to have this support by Ergon Energy. Tell us what work that you're doing regarding offering help to flood victims, please, Martin.
Yeah. Look, first off, obviously being based in North Queensland, it's obviously been a challenging time for our customers.
Yes.
Also have some family in the Ingham region. So there's some areas that have done it really tough through this, and not just to single those out. I know it's been right across the state at the moment. So we're definitely thinking of those customers who, you know, the flooding, once it's over, it doesn't just stop there. There's a long process for cleanup and whatnot that goes on past that. So from Ergon Energy Retail's perspective, we're part of the regions. We live in the state of Queensland. We're used to this stuff around this time of year.
Yes.
So we've got some support programs that can help. We've got a hardship customer program for customers who are experiencing financial difficulties because of the recent natural disasters.
Some stages, Martin, people are not working because of the floods and what have you. Can't get to work, or offices are closed down, or flood inundated. So there's no money coming in to pay bills, so to speak.
Absolutely, and we're here to help out. So we've got our hardship program, as I just mentioned. We've got extended payment arrangements, which can include a hiatus for a period of time until that customer is able to get back into work and start earning money. On our website, for those customers who can get access to it, we've got links to all of the different disaster funding buckets as well. So there's a number of programs which are being run by government, which can assist regional Queenslanders through this time. So we've got all of the links available for that. But look, what I would say is that if you're a customer and you're struggling to make ends meet, please contact us, because we can work with you on a range of different arrangements that can suit your needs.
Good, fantastic. This is all open now. How do people contact you? You got a web page or a phone number? Or?
Yeah, so you can go to ergon.com.au and click on the retail side there, so that takes you to the retail page. Our phone number is 13 10 46, or if you're registered to email billing, you can just reply to the last email bill you received, and that'll come through to one of our regionally based staff. So they'll be able to get in touch with you and have a conversation about your current conditions.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to hear. Thank you very much coming to the table, so to speak, and regarding Ergon Energy Retail Office help to flood victims. Good yarning with you, Martin. Thank you very much for your yarn, and all the best to your team. And stay in touch, please, my friend.
Thanks very much for that, Trevor. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Martin Siri, his name is, General Manager, Ergon Retail Operations. And talking about the deadly company Ergon Energy Retail offering help to flood victims. So Ergon Energy Retail is urging North Queensland customers affected by floods to make contact if they are experiencing financial strain. Executive General Manager Aisha Rusquick said the regional Queensland company was committed to helping the community to get back on its feet. So, yeah, that's what happens in regarding the monsoonal, regarding disastrous situations. We Australians, we all come together, don't we? So it's so very important, and great to see a company and organisation like that reaching out to the people of the area, which is so helpful in that sense. This is your daily program, you mob. Add to the conversation. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the bull down here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, live here on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
I'm away.
moment to look at where I've been is crazy. The summit is so far, but I'm getting closer to it lately. Sometimes I lose sight of just where I've been. Everything that I've done started to sink in. I'm still in the middle, I couldn't be any more grateful.
Yeah, Daily Track there, Way Up with Royston Noel here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. The Yarn of yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, AI to the rescue. Can we save our coral reefs from further decline? Can artificial intelligence save the Great Barrier Reef? Australian researchers are designing a global real-time monitoring system to help save the world's coral reefs from further decline, primarily due to bleaching caused by global warming. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Abdullah Chowdhury, that's doctor, from the University of South Australia, data analyst and lead researcher. And we have doctor on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Well, not too bad, thanks. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based down at South Australia?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. We're talking about the one of the wonders of the world, the Great Barrier Reef. We're always looking for life on planet Mars, but we need to look after planet Earth first. Great Barrier Reef is a very important space. World Heritage is listed. So AI to the rescue, can we save our coral reefs from further decline?
Yes, we are hoping so.
Yes.
As you said, like it's a wonder and also listed in UNS Heritage, and it is $60 billion economy and actually creating around 64,000 jobs around that region, and
yes,
also putting a great thing in tourism. The problem is, you know, that global warming and some other issues, we are actually losing our coral reefs. And we can see that a lot of different departments and researchers are working on this one, but there's so much data.
Sure.
It's hard to, like, understand. Like, say, for an example, if we are three people and speaking three different languages.
A bit of dog's dinner, you could say, doctor.
Yes, we can.
Yes, continue.
Yeah. So we need some platform that actually can interpret all the data to a single platform so that you can contribute, I can contribute, we can put social awareness, the students can analyze easily. So that's why our project, that we understand all the images from the coral, the videos, the audio sensors, all the data in a single platform. There is nothing like that. So we want that to be presented from Australia.
Yes. So it is a team effort, you could say. And, of course, when we're talking about, here we are on First Nation Indigenous radio station, we're talking about engagement from the traditional owners as well, which are professors in their own right in regard to the Great Barrier Reef.
That's true. Like, we need to understand what, indigenous and historical value we have there. So our platform is not only giving that coral reef is dying. We are actually working on the tourism and other monuments and other history behind that one. So that is actually the main thing. We need to let people know we have this property there. We have these values there. It's not only about coral reef. So if you see, our model is also based on the tourism industry. We need to actually explore the indigenous values, historical values of that one. Yes, that can be, that can put a, like, you know, great effort.
And so I said a team effort. So we're talking about governments involved as well in regarding what we can do to support the so-called ozone layer. And we're talking about cutting in emissions. That's also very important too, is it not?
Yes, because government is giving some data, but we need to give this one to the normal people. The we need to explain this one in a layman language so that everyone understands what NOAA and other government agencies are doing. They're spending millions of dollars to get the information, but if we do not understand that information, how do you know? Like, how can we use that knowledge?
Exactly.
So that's why we need an interpretable, explainable AI. How can that AI explain the result and data from the government to us? And how can we show that that money is well spent for that region?
So consequently, it's challenging to see the big picture of reef health or to conduct large-scale real-time analysis, you could say.
Yes. Yeah, so large-scale, we need to understand from long behind and what's happening. And also we need to understand what will happen if the temperature rises 1.5. So there are large amount of data. So we need a large-scale, scalable platform. And we need to see the future. Like, you know, to us and normal people, it's hard to understand. But if we take help of AI with that cloud environment, we will see that bigger picture, bigger loss behind this one, bigger impact of temperature rising. And, yes.
Very much so. So, look, a very important space and AI to the rescue. So can you just shed some light? Artificial intelligence, what sort of work behind the scenes, you could say, in regarding saving the Great Barrier Reef? What work has been done?
Okay. So if we go with two different say for an example, government and other organizations are working on, one thing is reef restoration, one is growing heat-tolerant corals, and another one is protecting corals. So there are three different things they are doing all together.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard for the normal machine learning or deep learning to analyze those. So AI has some generative capabilities, and we have a bigger platform like AWS Cloud we can use to analyze all these three different data. So for an example, if we are putting heat-tolerant corals, will it actually bring some more starfishes? Then it will be a disaster. If you are making new coral babies, how they will survive? So this sort of predicting models, we need help of AI. We cannot do with our traditional analytical models.
Mm-hmm.
That is the AI is putting the main one. We are using large language models, a large cloud environment to analyze the possible impact of those different things. So this is... This can be done by AI. They are giving us new ideas, new way of looking at things, new way of understanding the impact. So this is the AI main thing. So we are using large language models. We are using deep learning to analyze the deep sea coral videos. We are using normal machine learning to generate some predictable tools. So these three are all together as a part of our new AI model.
Look, fantastic. And like I said, it's a team effort. I know here up in far north Queensland, here in Cairns, with the tourism operators that operate out on the reef as a financial vehicle, you know, educating the people of the world about the Great Barrier Reef. One company, for example, Experience Co Reef Unlimited, they do the out to the pontoon, diving, snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef, but a lot of them marine biologists are also working with the traditional owners in regarding rejuvenating the reef. And thanks to the company Mars, who've invested in regarding the rejuvenation of reef. So that in itself helps the case too, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely. And as you said, team effort. That's why we couldn't do it alone from in South Australia. We had to take some experts from Victoria and two experts from Queensland University of Technology and Central Queensland University, because they have more local knowledge than us.
Yeah.
And they are experts on those data. So we cannot just put a machine thing and, you know, it will work. We need local knowledge. That's why in our team, if you see our paper, we have two different experts from Queensland itself. So they are there. They know the environment better.
Sure.
They know the current government initiatives and the private company initiatives and the local traditional history. They know this one. So we are actually taking input. So we cannot do only the machine learning people or data analytics cannot do this one alone. We need support from everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and with your findings from Uni South Australia, of course, communicating with the university likes of Central Queensland University and, of course, James Cook, JCU, up here, who are the local universities dealing with the Great Barrier Reef. So there's got to be communication lines opened air that way too, should it not?
Yes. And also CSIRO is actually giving some more effort in Queensland as well.
Good, yes.
They're putting some funds and they're involving some local people. As I said before, around 64,000 people are employed by that region. That is more than Telstra or, you know, other big companies.
Exactly.
So we need that to be intact. We need,
Very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. AI to the rescue. We are in the 21st century and use all the tools that are available in the 21st century. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, thanks a lot for your time as well, Trevor.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn. That's Dr. Abula Achoudhury, University of South Australia, data analyst and lead researcher. AI to the rescue. Working at opportunity, working at ingredients to save the coral reefs from further decline, looking after the Great Barrier Reef. It is a team effort. Beautiful conversation, very important conversation. This is your daily conversation. National Talk Black, have your conversation here, 1-800-422-416. Got about 20 minutes left on the program. Have your say and yarn up strong. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550. Facebook page, BBM987FM. Otherwise, call us on that number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Have your say, Mob. Too deadly.
Hey, you Mob. Did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045-4045. Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan. Or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
G'day, you Mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1800 422 416. Get out by ya.
sailing in all its glory as the current turns to flow. We applaud the sailing in the southeast wind. Kaikalaksa kerau paiaiae. Kaikalaksa kerau paiaiae.
Eddie on the track.
Until you fall asleep, I won't stay awake too long. Can't wait to see you in my dreams. Man, it's so heavy. As long as you get me to be a part of your dream, and I'm sleeping as long as you let me. As long as you let me be a part of your dream, and I'm sleeping.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7.
Because I island man, I buy Ubaduman,
and you cannot take that away from me. They say home is where your heart is. Oh yes, I believe it. And if I can feel it, yes, I can do it.
Daily track there, Teke Me Go Baigan, MSP. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trevor here, Murray from the Curry. About to sign off, thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. But 24-7, you can leave a message. Text 045-714-0550. Our Facebook page, well, BBM987FM. And thank you for your time, your mob. Thank you for your time, too deadly. And stay tuned with us. Got the NERS news coming up via NERS. Stay tuned for that. And a big shout out to all the First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours. Thank you for the work that you do. Voice for our people, the 21st century. Here we are. But thanks for the yarn, you mob. And stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll yarn soon. Too deadly.